Is that coming back filled out by us, by the school? Sorry, I'm eavesdropping.
No, that's okay.
That's good.
Call to order. Opening statement. Pursuant to NJSA 10-4-10, notice of this meeting has been provided by publication in the Asbury Park Press, the CoStar, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Mr. Boldeman?
Here.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Here.
Mr. Catanis?
Here.
Mrs. Herber?
Here.
Mr. Hovener?
Here.
Mr. Johnson?
Here.
Mr. Lucretto?
Here.
Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollard?
Here.
Mr. Serena? Mr. Vitale?
Here.
Julie McGarry? Lily Burke? Joy Nolan? We have quorum.
Mission statement. Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and rich tradition through partnership with the community. Statement to the public. Oftentimes, it may appear to members of our audience that the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and, in many cases, by unanimous vote. Before a matter is placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied that the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next combined committee of the whole and regular board meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After discussion during the committee of the whole portion of the meeting, the matter is focused on during the regular public meeting agenda and presented to the Board of Education for a vote. Acceptance of minutes. Can I have a motion to accept the minutes? Mrs. Bisson? Mr. Catani?
Mr. Boldeman?
Abstain.
Mrs. Bisson?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herber?
Yes.
Mr. Hovener?
Abstain.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretto?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollock?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carrie?
We'll now move to our presentations.
Shall we go to the podium?
I would like to thank the Board of Education for, again, putting students first. We started your board meeting by complimenting those students and those staff that have achieved the honor of Student and Staff of the Month. And with that, I want to thank the parents who have one of the most difficult jobs for what they've done to children in our town. Students that we get, that we receive, are awesome. It takes the community and it takes parenting to bring them here, to afford our staff the opportunity to bring their attention. So thank you. With that, I'd like to focus on exactly what's the criteria for how we select students of the month. These students serve as role models for their peers. They're not only actively engaged in extracurricular activities, but they're actively engaged in and out of the classroom, serving selflessly for the community. They're right above those other students Whitefield are excellent as well. We have a student body here is beyond reproach. Their positive and their leadership skills that help all those that need a helping hand. With that, I'd like to congratulate and recognize Manasquan High School Senior Student of the Month, Dorothy Lafredo. Dorothy? Dorothy, congratulations. Can I say a few things?
Oh, sure. Well, thank you to all the wonderful teachers here at Manasquan High School. Certainly hard picking one, but a special thanks to Mr. Fratelli. Great teacher, awesome class. Thanks for having fun. A lot of teachers do that here at Manasquan, so we're very fortunate. So thank you, everyone.
Okay, now if you have 1 minute, I want to say some of your accolades. Okay? In school, Dorothy is a member of the basketball team, National Honor Society and Spanish National Honor Society. Outside of school, Dorothy volunteers as a recreation coach, works at the Spring Lake Golf Club, enjoys going to the beach and spending time with family and friends. Dorothy's favorite subject is AP Gov, and her favorite teacher is Mr. Fratelli. One of the things that you don't have on here is one of the things I've seen in your career here, to me, that was most impressive. And do you remember that musical that you had at the elementary school? And you are in that, what character? Dorothy was awesome. That was so touching. I'll never forget. In fact, I was so impressed, I had to give you a call and say, you can not only shoot trees, but you can actually sing.
Oh, thank you.
I don't want to embarrass you.
It's okay. Anyway,
that was
it's on YouTube somewhere.
So, congratulations.
Thank you.
Dorothy was great. Manasquan Board of Education, let's congratulate Manasquan High School Junior Student of the Month, Charles Moore. Charles couldn't be with us this evening, but you can see what the wonderful things that he does here at Manasquan, from being on the bowling team, the academic team, and also being actively engaged in coding and 3D modeling. Charles' favorite subject is chemistry, and his favorite teacher is Mrs. Chang. I'm with Charles Moore. Manasquan Board of Education, let's congratulate Manasquan High School Sophomore Student of the Month, Violet Nolan. Violet? In school, Violet is on the varsity girls soccer team, winter and spring track, student council, key club, Welcome Warriors, International Club, Ping Pong Club, and History Club. Outside of school, Violet is a competitive surfer, surf camp instructor. She enjoys volunteering, babysitting, playing travel soccer, and tennis. Violet's favorite subject is history, and her favorite teacher is Mrs. Lefosco. Manasquan Board of Education, let's congratulate Manasquan High School Freshman Student of the Month, Mia Law. Mia? So Mia, how do you like Manasquan being a freshman? Now it's February, and you like it?
Yeah.
Did you come from the sending districts or from Manasquan only?
I came from Brielle.
From Brielle. How did you feel the transition?
It's good, it's pretty easy.
It's pretty easy to figure out. If you can think of anything that you do, if you can transition better, feel free to talk to Mr. Bill and let us know. And we'll definitely get involved with that. So thank you. One more time, I'll do this one. Okay. In school, Mia is in the Key Club, Student Council, and a member of the softball team. Outside of school, Mia enjoys playing softball and dance. Mia's favorite subject is math, that's awesome. And favorite teacher is Mr. Bill. something that may seem obvious, but for many reasons, overlooked and denied. What really makes a difference, what matters more than the class size or the textbook, the teaching method or the technology, even the curriculum, is the quality of the instruction. With that, the Manasquan Board of Education, let's congratulate the Manasquan High School Teacher of the Month, Brian Petrella. Brian, that's awesome. Would you like to say anything?
All right.
Sure.
Well, thank you again for the application. I appreciate the board vet. Thank you, all parents, administrators, Dorothy, of course. This is a student nominated award that Dorothy selected. So you really can, as an educator, you can't think better than that, that a student says, that you're making a difference for me. So that's a huge honor, and I really appreciate it.
She thinks you make learning fun.
That's
awesome.
I'm going to bring that up tomorrow. Promise. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
The Manasquan Board of Education, let's congratulate Manasquan Elementary School Student of the Month, Avery Bovins. Avery. Avery, congratulations. In school, Avery is the captain of the basketball team in the field hockey team. You guys made the playoffs this year, didn't you? When's your game?
Tomorrow.
Are you playing Cedar? Awesome. Good luck in that. That's great. That's a real accomplishment. So you're the member of the National Junior Honor Society and received first honor roll. Outside of school, Avery enjoys playing lacrosse, travel basketball, and field hockey. She volunteers when she can. In the summer, Avery enjoys going to the beach and hanging out with friends. Avery's favorite subject is language arts. Her favorite teacher is Mr. Manza. Avery had Mr. Manza for math in 6th or 7th grade, had a lot of fun in his class, and learned a lot. That's actually the greatest compliment. Mr. Manza is a very nice and thoughtful teacher. Congratulations, Avery Bolton. Each day, teachers come to school ready to tackle a job that is critically important, extraordinarily complex, often joyful, and at times heartbreaking. In essence, teachers help others to become their best selves, and I can think of no more important work. With that, the Manasquan Board of Education, let's congratulate Manasquan Elementary School Teacher of the Month, who makes learning fun, Andrew Manza.
Congratulations to all the students, especially Avery. You should win every month, keep picking me. But really, Avery is an unbelievable, well-deserved student. Just awesome, awesome all around. Thank you again.
And you're done. I believe that concludes our presentation this evening. You want to take a short break and have some cupcakes? And a cup of coffee, and we're going to resume in a couple of minutes. Okay? Thank you very much.
Madam President, can we start with the presentations
yes.
of the principals?
Thank you.
Yes. You're very welcome. Now, from the lower elementary school, pre-K to 4, is Jacqueline Paleo. Paleo.
Hello. All right, so I'm going to just kind of give an update. We completed our iReady mid-year benchmark assessment. We're just about finished with that. And so we are taking a look now at utilizing that data to help us inform our instruction in our weekly PLC meetings, grade level meetings. So that's exciting. Also, we are conducting our DIPLS mid-year screening. This is the second of 3 screenings in the year. Focuses on oral reading fluency, word reading fluency, and so on. And really focuses on phonemic awareness and helps us to assess where our students are in terms of reading readiness in conjunction with our running records tool as well. Then our pre-K registration opened up, and opened up really smoothly. We've had many applicants. We still actually have a few pre-K 3 half-day openings available for applicants. And entry into that pre-K 3 program ensures a spot in that pre-K 4 program the following year, which is, you know, very high demand. So, and then the next part is the mindfulness lessons. Our counselors have been very busy this past month. Can we go up to the next slide? So I'm going to start with Frank the Kindness Cat. Miss Harmony Shapiro, this is actually an authentic story. She found a cat on the side of the road that was injured. Her and her father, you know, had this journey where they took the cat to the vet and, you know, it basically rescued the cat during the process. He actually had to have one of his limbs amputated. She has been documenting this journey with children in her presentations in classrooms and has really spun it and woven it into a documentary of how to overcome adversity and also, you know, to appreciate others for their differences. And it's been like this beautiful story. She has this whole PowerPoint that goes along with it, and he's the cutest cat. I get pictures all the time, as you can see from the pictures up here. So that's been a really nice thing. The kids are always asking, you know, how's Frank doing? So she always gives them an update. And then in our next slide, we have our ELL counselor, Ms. Fatima Mulroy, has been working with her Lunch Bunch groups. And in these groups, she's kind of developed them into mini lessons. They're 20-minute sessions. She's looking to expand them to actually eat their lunches as well with her, just so she can expand it. And she's really focusing on a growth mindset. She gives the students surveys, and she actually, you know, helps them to kind of develop a belief in themselves. This week's goal was determination, how to build, you know, grit and determination to overcome, you know, any challenges that may arise. And that about sums it up.
Oh, thank you. Now from our upper elementary school, this is Minetta.
Good evening, everyone. So as the second marking period has now officially wrapped up, Mr. Sinelli, the 5-8 counselor, and I are reviewing student grades and progress. We always sit down together, determine which students are in need of some additional interventions. We work closely with their teachers and their parents to come up with a plan for additional supports. We have embedded a variety of supports for our middle school students. Some of them we've talked about before. We have before school interventions, we have lunchtime extra help, we have after school extra help sessions, we have some teachers, general education and special education teachers, who can provide these additional supports for kids who need them in addition to basic skills. So we have a lot of opportunities for kids to get the extra support that they need, and we just will continue to keep making sure that we're putting the resources in the right places and putting the kids in the right places to get those resources. We are also taking a look at our midterm data to make sure that our children are achieving in accordance with the Start Strong data, which we had from earlier in the year, that sort of let us know where our kids are in relation to last year's standards. How are they performing on this year's midterm? Gives us a good way to kind of cross-check information on our kids to make sure that they're making appropriate progress in preparation for the NJSLA coming up in the spring. We are also beginning to work on scheduling. Ms. Paleo and I are taking a look at the entire K-8 building schedule, because there are some shared staff and some pieces that we have to align, and the appropriate changes that we can make to sort of maximize opportunities for our kids while, you know, maintaining an eye on existing staffing. And then we will be doing projections and thinking out to honors testing and thinking about placement and all those things for our middle school kids. It's very exciting. Our kids, both our girls basketball team and our boys basketball team, made the playoffs. So we have playoff games happening tomorrow. Our girls are playing in Seeger, so we'll keep you all posted. They're having a great season. And then I just wanted to touch upon, again, as the ESL supervisor, we did complete our second session of that sheltered instruction workshop. It went really beautifully. The teachers learned some really great strategies for supporting our ELLs in the classroom. And you'll see in your packet, there was the ELL 3-year plan, which sort of reviews the data on our ESL program. And I did include a little cover sheet, just so you could sort of understand what the data is telling us and how we're using that to sort of revamp and revise our program. And then the last piece of that is that we are pursuing, as a district, for next year, putting into place participation in the SEAL of Biliteracy program. And I think I've talked to you guys a little bit about this before, but the SEAL of Biliteracy program will allow any of our students who are demonstrating proficiency in two languages, so that could be our English language learners who were, you know, traditionally Spanish speaking and then learned English, as well as our higher level world language students. It provides them with a special seal that goes on their transcript that says that they are actually biliterate, and it's a great way for us to look at our kids who speak two languages from a strength-based perspective, because that is an in-demand quality to have in the workforce, and it's something that we should be celebrating. So we are working towards that for next year. There are some applications and deadlines and things that we have to do to get in place to be a part of the program, but we're looking forward to that.
So we'll be starting that in September?
Yep.
Okay, so everybody knows, not this year.
Okay, that's it for me.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Now, from Manasquan High School, Mr. Goodall.
Thank you, Dr. Cajun. Good evening, everyone. Tomorrow night, we'll have our first indoor winter band concert in the Jack Nicholson Theater at 7 p.m. It'd be great if everyone could come out and support our concert band as they perform for the first time in a long time indoors. That's tomorrow night at 7. I want to congratulate Kate Hopkinson. She's a senior here. She is winner of the Norm Brodsky Scholarship. I know Dr. Cajun is inviting her next month. It's sponsored by Rider University. The Norm Brodsky Scholarship is offered to the winner of an entrepreneurial contest. Kate submitted a business plan to sell fried goodies there, and she, believe it or not, won a full scholarship to Rider University. So I wanted to congratulate her in person. I just was going to tell her, I was going to mention her tonight, and I asked her, are you going to Rider? And she goes, I am now. Congratulations to her. And yeah, great job, I think. The last week or so, we've had a number of senior recognitions in our athletic programs. These kids were fantastic four-year players here who really represented Manasquan High School on the court and off the court very well. And not to jinx them, but they're doing very well. If you look in the newspaper, in their conference, in the Shore Conference, and then in their respective brackets for state playoffs. It's a little unique. The boys were bumped up to grade while the girls were getting into it. So we wish them luck. Our swim team had some excellent performances. The boys and girls 200 medley relays were Shore Conference champs, and they both set school records. Sarah Eldridge, Dylan Eldridge, Caroline Ireland, and Summer Sackwood. Summer goes to actually Point Beach High School. We have that shared agreement. And Jack Nowak, Matt Bettinger, James Hackett, and Matt Pasola also goes to Beach High School as part of the shared team. But they were Shore Conference champs, and they set school records in the 200 medley relay. And those are our Manasquan High School seniors. And Sarah Eldridge also won the 200 and the 500 as part of the Shore Conference. I continue to talk about Manasquan wrestling in every presentation. Mm-hmm. But there's a good reason why. They continued their march on success and were seeded number 4 in Central Jersey Group 2. And last night, facing Cinnaminson High School, they had their first ever in school history win the state playoff wrestling match. First ever. I asked all around, no one could tell me they ever won. Every record we look at. So it's the first one in school history as part of the bracket, the state bracket. We've had some decent individual wrestlers. We wound up being 13-6 overall, and in B North they were 8-4. And I just wanted to mention the young man wrestling there, Jake Edwards. He had a pretty good week. He got Representative Chris Smith to write him a sponsorship for admittance to the United States Air Force Academy. So that's not been accepted yet, but that's one of the steps in gaining admission to our service academies. And he had two humongous victories where he pinned both opponents last night. So pretty good week for Jake Edwards. More of an academic in as we're finishing our course of study for next year. We wanted to add two social studies electives It gives our students some choices for those who have an interest in these areas, and they're 2.5 credit semester courses. Students, you know, showed interest. The civic action and democracy is a course I ran in my previous high school with much success. And then Mr. Fagan has developed a historical perspective, teaching history through the eyes of a different lens. So these are two classes we anticipate, you know, being pretty popular for kids who are interested in history electives. Mrs. Kenny and I, along with Mr. Coppola and all the supervisors and vice principals and teachers, we're developing the course of study for next year. And I've been making presentations throughout the year of things we might be offering students, just to review some of those highlights. We talked about increasing our offerings in Project Lead the Way, which has been very successful in the engineering strand. We're going to be adding digital electronics and civil engineering and architecture. And we're also going to expand as we look towards moving towards more of a STEM academy. Biomedical sciences, where we're going to offer our first introductory course, Principles of Biomedical Sciences and Human Body Systems. As part of our AP action plan to increase participation as well as performance on the AP test, we're moving towards expanding our 4 AP offerings to go from 6 to 10 credits to allow teachers and students more time to focus on that content, very difficult content, and hopefully we'll improve our outcomes on those AP exams. We also increased the amount of time, went from semester courses to full year courses in microeconomics and macroeconomics. They're now full, next year going to be full year 5 credit courses. And just mentioned the 2 history electives we're adding. Science in the Kitchen is a elective class we're adding for our CLI students. For next year, the format, although these are not new classes, we spoke about earlier in the fall about offering Microsoft Suite and business and financial literacy through a hybrid online learning here at the high school, with potentially down the line just taking that course at home. So students get a real example and experience of online learning before they go to college, which I think will help them out tremendously. And then for non-college-bound students who are just going to take 1 year of the world language just to satisfy the state requirement, we're offering conversational Spanish full year at 5 credits, and that'll satisfy their requirement. So just to look at, if you're an incoming ninth grader, with all the offerings that we're adding, these are examples of this is a pretty rigorous schedule, but if your child is interested in engineering in ninth grade, this is what potentially a schedule will look like for them. And of course, they do have some alternatives they could choose, and that would be a 10th grade schedule. It's a little typo there. It's pre-calculus honors. That's their math. And then for biomedical sciences, you see we are adding in the human body systems as the elective in freshman year, with Principles of Biomedical Sciences the second year, and then an additional elective. They have 160 credit opportunities, so there's more than enough opportunities to be selective and have some choices throughout their time here. But if you're looking at a career-focused approach, and that's what an academy is, these are samples that, of schedules that kids would have if they have interest in these areas.
Does Project Lead the Way have a middle level focus?
There is a gateway. You can go all the way down to kindergarten.
Okay. I just humbly suggest that's an area that we should look into, and I'll work within. And thank you for the academic focus this evening. I really applaud what you're doing with the cognitive domain in both schools. And just going from pre-K, which is so important, to the discussion of DIBLs and running records, and how you're going to focus on changing the schedule, or if we can, to offer more to our middle level. And then how it moves right up to the high school with your offerings of your new classes. This is an area that Rick and I have often talked about going, and He started it when he was principal, and I just applaud seeing it go from pre-K to 12th grade. And Rick being actively engaged with the new science curriculum and as a director, it's all working. And I would like to take a look at that, how we can, in a year or two, put that in, if it fits, especially since we're looking at revamping the schedule. So, thank you.
If you don't mind me saying one more point, if you look on the Project Lead the Way website, very user-friendly, and is a great explanation of the sequencing for elementary students up to the high school. So it's actually really entertaining and informative to look at.
Good. Any questions? Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Now our directors, Ms. Kenny and Mr. Coppola. Ms. Kenny will be giving Suzanne Olympio's presentation this evening. She couldn't make it. She's got some family business matters that she has to take care of. Now from our Director of Curriculum and Instruction, Mr. Coppola.
Thank you, Dr. Fusion. Good evening, everybody. Just had a couple things I want to circle back from last month and just report out on the results from our January 28th full day in service, which was a great day. Just to kind of, again, go back and back to what Ms. Minetta was saying about our three-year plan for our ELLs. We had our second session of sheltered instruction training with teachers on both sides of the street. Talk about strategies to help not only our ELL students but all our students in a comprehensive learning environment. Again, this was the second session. We have one more session with our staff on March 11th. We've been talking to the county office about PD and everything as we move into CUSAC, and they were very impressed as a district that we took on this initiative. We got a lot of positive feedback. We have a wonderful presenter named Christine Etienne. And we actually had one of our teachers whose spouse is an administrator in another district contacted us to try to get her contact because we heard so many great things about what she did. And we couldn't be more impressed, and our teachers really responded well to the training, so we were happy about that. The other part of the day on the 28th was we broke our teachers and our schools into departments, and you've heard me talk about professional learning communities and how important they are. And there were basically two functions for that over the course of the day. One was to take a look at the Start Strong results by question. So teachers got to break down and do a deep dive into the results of their class and to see really what the strengths and weaknesses were as a group. What we require as administrators, we help facilitate the discussion, but we like to see reflection. And we asked for that reflection to be turned in as a written kind of document. And our administrative team has gone through that and been really, really pleased with the results in terms of what teachers saw and how they saw that they could improve their instruction and fill in some of those gaps moving forward. So that was very worthwhile. And finally, the last piece was we also had our departments come together and do some curriculum audits and start to revise curriculum as we get into our next curriculum cycle that will be approved obviously in August. And I can't say enough about the principals and our supervisors who did a great job leading that discussion. The state has come across with new standards in world language and science and life literacies and technology, and all of that needs to be infused in our entire course of study. And the work that was done was very impressive. By everyone. So it was a very productive day. We have two more half days of in-service and professional development in March, and we'll look to follow up on those activities. As Dr. Cajun mentioned, we are getting ready to provide a presentation to you for our new science curriculum that we're looking to adopt in K-8. We're very excited about that. We'll put together a presentation for you showing some sample lessons, the resources, and what we're going to be doing at each grade level. That'll be in the upcoming months. We're also looking at going forward to reconvene the Equity Committee. We've met twice this year, all the subcommittees. We've had a lot of good follow-ups when we started over a year and a half ago, so that's a very important committee. that we want to keep going as this, you know, as our discussion continues. So that's been productive as well. I'll report out on that after we meet in March. And finally, I just wanted something on your agenda tonight that I just wanted to mention. One of the functions that we have to evaluate veteran teachers and expert teachers is something called the reflective practice. And what that is, instead of a teacher being having two classroom observations, a teacher would initiate at the beginning of the year to go to their supervisor or principal. And as long as that teacher received a highly effective summative grading the year before, they have the option of coming forward and saying that they want to do the reflective practice. The reflective practice is a collaborative effort between the administrator and the teacher, where the teacher, basically, there's a lot of different components. The most important is they videotape their lesson. They go through a model lesson, and they save that video. They then get student feedback on the lesson in the way of a student survey, and they gain student data in the way of SGOs and benchmark assessments. And the administrator and the teacher then review the video, review the data, and come up with a score, obviously an evaluation, but also a reflective plan that will move forward that will impact instruction in terms of how that teacher goes forward. I saw a very good example of that last year, where one of our best teachers at the high school, he wanted some kind of help with the idea that what kind of student responses that he was getting in the classroom. There was a lot of discussion in the class. And what he did along with the administrator was make up a chart to see, how often he was asking a certain side of the room a question, what kind of responses were there. So it was a very thoughtful process that really kind of changed his approach in terms of how he was instructing his class. So I just wanted to touch base on that. And right now, I believe we have two or three teachers in the district that are going through that process. We'd like to encourage more teachers to do that. We think it's a valuable practice, and it's something that's yielded a lot of benefits in past years. So that's where we are. That's my report.
Thank you. Now our Director of Student Personnel Services, Ms. Kenny.
Hey, everyone. Good evening. We started off this week with our school counselor week. It's National School Counselor Week, and so we spent some time, speaking to the counselor. Obviously, in the last couple of years, the importance of the counselors and really have, so many things have gone through the school counseling office has really kind of come to light, and so we're enjoying celebrating them this week. Additionally, we are in full scheduling mode beginning in the next couple of weeks. Our eighth grade sending district meetings with our ninth grade counselor are all scheduled for the beginning of the week that we get back from break. And at that point, the counselor and myself will be going to all the sending districts to go over the new courses, the scheduling process. We want to include some teacher recommendations and some scheduling forms with those meetings in order to help the students successfully schedule their courses. For the current students, we will begin the process of meeting with the students to go over the course options for the next year. Additionally, the courses that we're adding to the curriculum guide. And then this year, we are going to open the parent portal so that parents and students can take a look at the courses available first, make some choices, and then speak with the counselors directly to determine if those courses are the most appropriate, if their first choice, if their second choice. We want to have the parents have a little bit more input from home and from the parent portal aspect of it. So we're going to be working on that. We are in the process of now starting the test planning for the New Jersey Graduation Proficiency Assessment, the NJGPA. It's for all 11th graders. This test is brand new for this year. If you go back to where it used to be the HESPA test, our district, and a lot of Monmouth County districts have been chosen as a field test district as well, which means that from the NJGPA GSA grades, test to the NJSLA test, we will be giving another section. So our students will be taking another section of English. Instead of two, they'll be taking three. So we're in the process of planning for that. As it stands, the 11th grade assessment is only able to be given for 1 week, I mean 1 week time frame, beginning March 14th. So the week of March 14th until that Monday through Friday, we'll be going with coming up with a testing schedule for those junior students to be tested in English and math. And then finally, we are beginning our Warrior Rise program. So a couple months ago, we did a survey asking parents and students if they are interested in having a drop-in tutoring program in the AM. Some of our students are here early already, depending on the time the buses get here. Some of the students take their bikes early. And so from 7 to 7:30, beginning Tuesdays and Thursday mornings, we will have any student have the ability to come to school and go to specific locations to meet with teachers for drop-in tutoring. English, Spanish, history, we have several subjects offered, and it really gives the students the option to, and the opportunity to take some time to really, if they had a question about their homework or they have an upcoming test, they'll have the opportunity on Tuesdays and Thursdays. We start with Tuesdays and Thursdays simply to see what type of a response we get. And then, with the understanding that if we are getting a lot of students, if it's, seemingly, been beneficial for the students and they're taking advantage of it, then we will open it up for additional days. So February 22nd is the start date for that. And then as far as the interim director of special services, Ms. Olympio, she just wanted to report out that they are beginning their executive committee meetings for the CPAC committee, the Special Education Parent Advisory Council. This week, the six executive committee members will be meeting to determine their mission, their goals, and their plans for this coming year. They are planning on having monthly meetings with the entire committee, but tomorrow, I believe, is when the meeting will be held. And then in addition to the eighth grade planning meeting for the general education students, Ms. Olympio and the child study teams have been going to all the sending districts to do transition planning meetings with the students. So they've been spending a lot of time with our sending district special education teachers, child study teams, social workers, and really kind of, planning for the students that are going to be entering our building as freshmen and making sure that, we have them set up for success through their program planning and their IEPs. So they've been working really hard on that.
If there's no questions, that concludes our presentations for this evening. Good? Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time when recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of the meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer and shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by any individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. In order to ensure all members of the public who wish to participate are afforded a timely and orderly opportunity to do so, the board may not answer questions posed by those making comments. The board may address questions posed during this period once all members of the public wishing to speak have done so. The board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items included in this agenda only. Would anyone like to be heard? Seeing no one, that brings us to our second public forum. Would anyone like to be heard on issues not on this agenda? Seeing no one, I'll turn it over to Dr. Cajun for discussion items for the February 8th agenda.
Thank you very much. The discussion items, first focus is education, curriculum, and technology. We heard a lot of things tonight coming from our directors and our principals from CUSAC, which we're going to hear more about when we get to our assistant superintendent's report. Full day in service and Project Lead the Way in biomedical science, new courses in the high school, the end of the second marking period being successful in the middle school, interventions and support, strong student data, sheltered instruction, a seal of biliteracy, as you can see from actually what I said to the principals as well as what they reported on, we have raised the bar here regarding academic excellence, and we're meeting it, so I'm very proud of what they did tonight. So I don't want to be redundant and go over all the things they said, so that was our focus on education, curriculum, and technology. Of course, personnel will be in public session. Policies for review and discussion, as you can see, received these in the Friday packet. Two of the policies that I would like you to take a look at, because I sent them out simply because we hadn't looked at these since June 2011. And late arrival and early dismissal, pupil supervision after school dismissal. Both mandatory policies. And I want it noted that we reviewed them in February 2022, because they are very important, especially from the class action suits that they represent. And we are doing things properly in the elementary school and the high school, but I just wanted to bring that to the board's attention this evening in case they had any questions on our dismissal policies at all. And arrivals, by the way. And we do have our security guards at the doors when they arrive at the high school, when they arrive at the elementary school. We have our teachers who are responsible there, and as well as the dismissal. Every child is dismissed at pre-K to four with parents. Parents have to be available. Okay, seeing no questions. And you have the first reading policies as well, which you received. And our second reading policy this evening, which you also received. Seeing no questions about those, I'm going to move to finance. Sure. Where are we with our 2022-2023 budget?
The 2022-2023 budget update, since we last met, is getting closer to finalized, just so you guys know the time frame. Next board meeting, we will, or I'll propose that we adopt a tentative budget, which, you know, essentially makes up the entirety of the budget. With your approval, that will then go to the county, who we need their approval from to formally approve the budget for next year in April. We got all the sending district enrollment projections in. We did send out tentative tuition rates of $17,693 in the regular ed program, $28,434 in the LLD program, and then a couple special ed programs, $51,778 in the CLI program, which is the program out back, formerly the ABA program, $50,961 in the MD program, and $8,550 for the pre-K handicap program. So all the BAs from the sending districts are in receipt of those rates and are presumably building their budgets around them. Subject to change until the budget is formally adopted, obviously, and they're aware of that. Just some highlights. So obviously we'll go over everything that's in the budget, but in addition to our current programming, what the budget's looking to support is the pre-K expansion that Ms. Paleo touched on, adding a room to the pre-K program, namely a four-year-old full-day classroom to the pre-K program, the K science curriculum adoption, which is a pretty large-scale, you know, curriculum adoption, a big grade span, and CLI expansion of the program out back to include a lower level. So, and I wish Suzanne was here, she'd be a lot more fluent about this than I, but a preliminary feeder program into the ABA program that we have out there that's been so successful. So that continues to grow and will be supported in the budget next year.
Most of our students in the ABA program do have a sort of work study. They go to work in the afternoon, which leaves us space. So we could expand that program going down to the lower grades, which I think will be very beneficial for us. And Suzanne is working very hard to facilitate that for us. And I think it will be successful. Yep. And speaking about pre-K, we'll have about 62 students in our pre-K program, which I think is very good. Full-day four-year-olds, or part-time, or half-day three-year-olds, and the tuition has gone up for the program for four-year-olds. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure I'm not. $3,000 for the four-year-olds and $1,500 for the three-year-olds.
That's correct.
Nice, spot on. So that's moving in the right direction. I would eventually like to see us with our full-day pre-K three-year-olds as we move down the road and combine four-year-olds and three-year-olds together, and hopefully in 4 or 5 years have 6 classrooms of pre-K students. I think that will impact the district in a positive way. With that, Dr. Crowley?
Yeah, just to wrap up that budget, just for additional timeline things. So we will meet with the ad hoc budget committee. Usually we meet early March. That allows for the governor to give his budget proposal and us to get our formal state aid numbers, and that's kind of the last puzzle piece. So Alexis, I'll probably be reaching out in the next week to schedule that with you, you and the committee, okay? That'll be prior to the March meeting when we obviously adopt the tentative budget. Next up, and I have a few slides prepared if you want to follow along. They are a little dense. They're provided on Canvas. It's also been provided to the board in full in the Friday packet, and these are also available online for anyone who wishes to see the full reports. But I've just pulled out a couple important slides from the LGEA audit we underwent, and I want to talk a little bit about an ESIP funding mechanism, which I'm proposing we pursue in this agenda. So just a little background. An energy savings improvement program is essentially a way for schools to borrow some sum of money that they wouldn't normally be able to fit in their general budget, so long as they can certify and guarantee that money can be repaid by energy savings that are realized by the projects that are done with that money that's been borrowed. So as of now, where we're at in this process, you can read those bullets to yourself. I don't want to read them to you, but it essentially allows for you to borrow up to 15 to 20 years, depending on the type of renovations you're undergoing. And again, as long as an engineer will certify that the savings will outweigh the repayment of the projects you undergo. Where we're at right now, Jesse, if you go to the next slide, is we have received our LGEA audit, which is that first bubble. And tonight, we're kind of at the second bubble, which is to select the path we're going to go. The LGEA audit is fully subsidized by the New Jersey Clean Energy Program audit. They come out, they look at every single light fixture, every single HVAC unit, every single energy-consuming piece of the puzzle here. And basically, it's a proof of concept. They determine whether or not this is realistic, whether or not after undergoing some energy-efficient upgrades, you would be able to pay back a long-term financing plan with the savings you would have. So we had pretty positive results from our LGEA audit. I say positive, you know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. It's positive because there are savings available. It's negative because, you know, we're not operating as efficiently as we could be, but the idea is we'll get more efficient as we undergo this process. The next step is to decide how you're going to undergo this project. So you have 3 choices, an ESCO model. ESCO is kind of like a turnkey. These companies specialize in these energy savings programs. They come in, they design the program, they propose what program is going to be best for the district, what's going to save us the most money, the repayment plan that's going to save us the most money, and they're very familiar with the process and maximizing our savings. That's what I'm going to suggest we go with, and you'll see number 32 31 in your agenda authorizes me to go out for RFPs for an ESCO. The other two are more in-house. If you have, you know, either you could pay your own architect or you could do it truly in-house if you have, you know, I guess a maintenance team that would be capable of doing that. But I think given the ESCO's expertise in the field, we'll have the best outcome if we go with an ESCO model and do a turnkey approach. Once we go out and just keep in mind all these bullets, nothing will cost the district any money out of pocket until that last bubble where we submit to the BPU for approval. At that point, there's a third party audit that would cost us about 1% of the overall project. They issue a guarantee that we would save the money, and then all of the funding covers the costs other than that. So there's no out-of-pocket expense to the district until we implement the energy savings measures, and those energy savings measures will be cash flow positive in our budget, so those savings will offset the cost of the project. Stop me at any point if you have any questions.
Yeah, I just want to say one comment. Energy savings has been the focus of this district for the last 5-6 years, which we've done a great job with. But this is a different type of energy savings. The energy savings that we're actively engaged with was having our energy consultant making sure that the air conditioning was being turned on and being monitored at a certain level, so we'd save energy that way. That the lights were being turned on and off, more of getting the teachers and our staff used to saving energy by, when they leave a classroom, turning lights off, and actually monitoring things from more of a personal focus. This is a mechanical focus, and you can correct me if I'm wrong with this. Focusing on what kind of lights we have. Focusing on our, I would say boilers, but really removed away from those with our new HVAC projects. Focusing on the units that are on the roofs. Focusing on exactly the mechanical way that we run our district, and that's what they're going to be focusing on. I don't know if they're going to focus on solar energy in this audit, but that's another focus for us. As you know, the multi-purpose facility is being built with an intention that if you decided to put solar panels on it, you could. It's strong enough to install it. That's a decision that you would have to make at that particular time. So there's two ways of saving energy. We've always gone down a road of saving it by monitoring how the staff utilizes the energy here. Now we're going to focus on the mechanisms that provide us with energy. And that's where our capital improvements will come from and will be saved, paid for by our saving in energy.
So. Yeah, and that's the program Frank just referenced has been extremely successful. You've seen Mr. Reed's presentations on that. We've saved over $1 million in the past several years since it began. So this will be just continuing in that direction, continuing to improve our efficiency. And
what did we buy with those energy savings? I know you know. A tractor.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, I was I wanted a tractor for 2 years, and we finally got one with the energy saver. Awesome.
So that's just basically the process. So this whole, you're looking at about 24 months of bubbles there. We're at bubble two. So we're going to, you know, hopefully roll this out with your guys' approval over the next 14 or so months until we're completed and we get everything commissioned, turned on. And then again, we'll start paying back our debt with what's been saved energy-wise. Again, a little dense, probably doesn't translate well to a PowerPoint slide, but you're welcome to look at it on our website. This is just an example of what the LGEA, so the kind of preliminary audit, suggests would be most cost-effective for the district to undergo. In all these projects, the primary energy saver, the primary cost generator, is LED lights. Reason being is they have a tremendous energy savings, and they're also relatively cheap to swap out. So you get your biggest bang here for your buck with LED lights. But this is kind of a preliminary prescription of what they suggest, things we could do around the district that they suggest would result in a pretty significant repayment. You can go over them. It's all different. Things as simple as, you know, it's things as complex as replacing our refrigerator and freezer cases, and as simple as installing low flow little screw-on caps on our faucets to eliminate some of the water waste we have. But they really, like I said, they really leave no stone unturned. And one last one. This is just, again, preliminary. This will have to undergo that. The ESCO will be responsible for doing an actual investment-grade audit that will be signed by an engineer and confirmed to, by law, must represent that we'll have an energy savings. But based on the LGEA audit that we underwent, this is kind of a preliminary cost savings estimate or projection if we were to undergo most of what we saw on that last slide. And as you can see, it's in the $80,000 to $90,000 range, what would be being saved. So long as your repayment of the debt is sub that savings, then you would be compliant with the ESIP program. So again, number 31 is going to approve me to go out for an RFP for an ESCO. I'll send out the specifications and the RFP. They'll come in. All the ESCOs will come in. These are the approved vendors who can do this work for the state of New Jersey, and do a walkthrough of our district, just like the LGEA auditors did. Take their notes and come back with a proposal. Here's what I suggest you do. Here's what's going to save you the most money, get the most bang for your buck. That'll be the next step. With your approval on that 31, that's where we're headed. Does anyone have any questions about that? If you want to comb through the whole report, you can see, you know, they really do an expansive and comprehensive job looking at our potential savings. Since Dr. Cajun did mention it, solar is not indicated on the ECMs. The ECMs on the last slide I showed you are more retrofits and replacing what you have. But solar and the savings that come from installing solar can also be used to drive those two bars in that chart apart and increase our savings. Okay?
One thing about solar, I would think if we did it today, probably wouldn't be much of a payback because we don't have a lot of roof space to put in them. We're not going to put it on a slate roof.
Mm-hmm.
And all, but once that field house is done, that's a large area.
That is 32,000 square feet.
Solar panels.
Blank slate, yeah. So that'll be good. And they'll take that into account as well when they develop their proposal. And we do have a good amount of roof. You'd be surprised when you look at a flat roof where solar would actually not even be seen on both buildings where it would sit below the Mansford roof. So that's something they're going to take a look at when they make their proposal.
Okay, can we shift now to our long-range facilities plan? So we're talking about facilities?
Yeah, so these two bullets are kind of in tandem. As you know, since we sent it out in the Friday packet and emailed you guys, we did have an issue with the HVAC system in Pod B. The heat exchangers in Pod B at the elementary school did break down and are due for a replacement. We're in line to replace them, unfortunately. Like everything right now, there's a lead time of 4 to 6 weeks to get those components in and installed. We have arranged for some temporary heat to be offered to that pod. In the meantime, Frank and I have gone over a few times to make sure everyone's comfortable and, you know, they everyone's being a good sport about it, but we're hoping to fix that long-term within the next 4 to 6 weeks. But what the bigger indication there is that we do have some aging equipment over across the street in terms of HVAC and mechanicals. So we are starting to, and this was detailed in our LRFP, which was approved by you guys in the summer, but we're starting to look pretty seriously at what a replacement of those systems and other components of the infrastructure might look like. So anything you want to add to that, Dr. Cajun?
No, yes. I just see that the elementary school, in regards to the HVAC, I know we had an HVAC project that was not focused on the rooftop units, as you recall. They were more focused with the classroom, venting systems, temperature gauges in the classroom, the dials, those are the things that we had to work on. We put over $1 million into the elementary school with that. However, the units on the roof are meeting their end of useful life. I mean, they've been up there over 20 years. So I think that the canary in the mine is the heat exchangers that broke on us this week, two of them. And we have a company coming in who will replace them, and we'll get it done in, I think, 2 or 3 weeks.
Four to six.
I think 2 or 3 weeks. I looked at my BA, he said 4 to 6. But okay, but we do have heating units in each classroom, so they're more comfortable. Two heating units, because the first heating unit they bought was a little bit too small. That's all we could get up the shelves right away. So we did order more. Matt Hudson did a great job with this, and they'll be coming in tomorrow, Thursday, they'll be in the classroom.
They'll be delivered tomorrow, hopefully in the classrooms as soon as they get here, so potentially half day tomorrow.
So the classrooms will be maintained at a nice temperature. However, it's a discussion I think we have to have as we move forward. We have some capital improvement projects that we have to look at. And exactly how are we going to look at those and what avenue are going to take to facilitate that, because before it becomes a crisis, if you understand what I'm saying. So I think it's indicative of discussions that we have to have in the future about how we're going to meet the needs that we have in the elementary school. I think we've done a great job in the high school, and now it's time to look at the elementary. And if you could look at your long-range facilities plan that we have, it's been itemized out. The costs are there. The state has already approved the needs that we have in the elementary school if we want to start working on them, including the expansion of pre-K. It's in there. But again, it's up to the board to focus on exactly what projects you want to look at and how we're going to facilitate meeting those needs. Okay. Thank you.
Just one thing, too, because you had mentioned Mr. Hudson, I do just want to make a note. We had our QSAP walkthrough, so that's for those of you unfamiliar, is the state monitoring of our facilities and actually all of our operations across the district. A big feather in Matt Hudson's cap and Mark Rogers' cap, they're very impressed with our facilities, the cleanliness of our facilities, and it's a testament to the hard work they do every day, them and their custodial team. So.
Yeah, but to that point, the wood chop was off. And I said that to them. And I went out there today, and there were 5 guys cleaning up the wood chop. So to me, that shows a sense of commitment, because I went out and I looked at the wood shop. Maybe it was just a bad day for the wood shop. I don't know, but there was sawdust all over the place. And they were out there, 5 guys, from our maintenance and custodian crew, cleaning it up, hopefully to get it done before I got out there. And I'm going to back out at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and they were mopping the floors, vacuuming, and doing everything like that. So it's a real commitment here, making sure that the facility is kept safe and secure and clean. So that only helps. So I want to thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank Matt and Mark and his team.
Okay. With that, anything else, Pete?
That's it for me, unless there's any questions.
That, if there's no questions from the board, that ends the committee of the whole. Now I'd like to move to the superintendent's report, if I may. Enrollment, 1,503, high school 986, elementary school 517. We've met the code requirements for our fire drills and our safety drills. As you can see, in January, we had our fire drills in the high school and our shelters in place, as well as our ABA building. They mirror what we do in the high school. Elementary school, we had a fire drill and a shelter in place. We have no incidents of harassment, intimidation, and bullying in the high school, and no report in the elementary school for the month, which I think is excellent. The student safety data system report that you received September 1st, 2021 through December 31st, 2021 is document C2 in this packet. The reason why you're seeing it again, this is a duplicate. I already spoke about this. It's a requirement for it to be on the agenda for the New Jersey Quality Student Accountability Continuum, which we're going through, which I'm going to ask Mr. Place to describe in a minute. So that's why I know you're looking at me and saying, well, we already saw this. I know you have, but you've seen it again because of our visit by the state or the county or, yeah. Mr. Place?
Thank you. Yeah, so as Dr. Crowley and Dr. Cajun just alluded to, the district is currently involved in the Quality Single Accountability Continuum, which for obvious reasons we call QSAC. This is essentially a process every school district in New Jersey has to go through. It's really a compliance audit, right, to make sure that our district, our board, complies with all of the statutory, regulatory, et cetera, regulations that the Department of Education has for us. So every year we have to do a statement of assurance that says, you know, we're doing all these things. And then every 3 years, we basically go through that on-site audit process over a number of areas. And those areas being instruction and program, fiscal management, governance, operations, and personnel. So in each of those areas, there's a number of indicators, you know, again, across a wide array of things, you know, facilities being one, as Dr. Crowley just mentioned. You know, for example, reporting of the school violence and vandalism data, like Dr. Cajun just mentioned, and we're awarded, you know, points for each of those areas in order to get to a certain threshold of compliance. That process began at the beginning of this year. We did have a QSAC committee that has to represent, you know, a lot of different groups from the district. So this year's committee was comprised of Mr. Catani from the board, Dr. Cajun, Dr. Crowley, and myself, of course, all of our three principals, our three directors, and also Ms. Basman from the high school as a collective bargaining unit representative, and Ms. Eldridge from the high school as a teacher. So our thanks to those members of that committee. This process largely culminates tomorrow when the Executive County Superintendent, the County Business Administrator, and the County Educational Specialist will be here on site. And they will work with us and ask us for various documents to produce to essentially conduct that. So as we said, that'll be happening tomorrow. They've been a little tentative about giving us a timeline for when the results will be all compiled, but those results will of course be presented to the Board of Education once that happens. So that covers the QSAC process as far as what we're doing. I would just go back to the policies for just a minute. The policies that you see on this agenda are largely the result of just statutory or regulatory changes. There's not too much substantive that that are choices for the district to make, really. One question did come up from the board about policies 2415.05. That one's on student surveys. And then a companion policy, the 9560, which is administration of school surveys. So the first one I mentioned, 2415, essentially addresses both these policies, I should say, really address what parental rights there are in terms of asking students questions on various topics for different surveys. These don't come up that often, honestly, because if you look at some of the topics, they're not things we routinely survey students about. But the 2415 policy essentially addresses any surveys that are conducted as part of a program funded by the federal government. And there are specific requirements about what kind of notice or consent you need to give to parents first before conducting those, again, if there's a number of topics. The other policy, 9560, which is the administration of school surveys, this is as a result of a law that was passed last year, a New Jersey law that was passed last year. There had always been a law in place that said you needed written parental consent, right, before giving a survey to a student that asked certain questions related to, and you can look at the items in the policy, but essentially things like political affiliation, you know, mental and psychological problems, sexual behavior attitudes, things like that. That's still in place. That was the existing law. The law that was passed last year recognized a couple of categories where written parental consent was not required, but rather just written notification to parents was required that the survey would be taking place. It is anonymous, voluntary, and of course you can opt out. And so there's a couple bullets of things like use of alcohol, tobacco, drugs, again, sexual behaviors and attitudes, things like that, physical activity, nutrition-related behaviors. So that policy just differentiates those two things in the context of that new law that was passed. So the only other policy item I'd call out is, sorry about that. It's the anti-hazing policy, policy 5541. This kind of was in the news last year, the law that was passed in New Jersey, you know, that applies to middle schools, high schools, and higher ed. The only reason I'm calling that out, like I said, you can read through the policy and understand how it defines its hazing and the district responses we can take to that. We do have it on the agenda tonight as an item to pass and approve on an emergent basis with one reading, simply because the law requires we have it in place by March 1st. And then we would do a second reading to codify that at the next board. Unless there's any questions, that concludes my report.
Thank you. And that concludes the superintendent's report for this evening.
Can I have a motion to approve and accept the superintendent's report? Mr. Holbrook? Mr. LaPrada?
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Mr. Burns?
Yeah.
Thanks, Marty.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mrs. Herber?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. LaPrada?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Ms. Carey?
Does anybody need anything separated out on the Manasquan general items, numbers 15 through 20? Can I have a motion for numbers 15 through 20? Mrs. Bissell, Mr. Balderman?
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hovater?
Yes.
Mr. LaPrada?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack?
Yes.
Carey?
Does anybody have any questions or need anything separated out on the Manasquan Seni District General Items numbers 21 through 39? I have a motion for numbers 21 through 39. Mr. Vitale, Mr. Hovater.
Mr. Balderman.
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell.
Yes.
Mr. Burns.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert.
Yes.
Mr. Hovater.
Yes.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes.
Mr. LaPrada.
Yes.
Mrs. Pollack.
Yes.
Mr. Vitale.
Yes.
Carey.
Does anyone have any old or new business they'd like to raise?
Alexis, if I could just ask Pete one question. Pete, could you just remind me what tuition is for out of district for the high school, please?
For this current year?
Yes.
$8,118, I believe.
Thank you.
Caught me off guard.
No, that's okay. I don't need a specific number, Pete. Seriously.
What we do, so you know the methodologies, we peg it at 50% of the sending district regular to Michigan.
Okay, so. Thank you.
Can we have a motion to adjourn to executive session? Mr. Catani, Ms. Herbert.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I have a motion to reconvene the public meeting. Mr. Catani, Mr. Hoveter.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Baldwin?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yep.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mr. Pellegrino? Mrs. Pollan?
Yes.
Mr. Serena? Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Do we have a quorum?
We're going to amend number 41 to check off numbers 3, unwanted invasion of individual privacy, and 7, litigation or contract matters or attorney-client for items that we discussed during executive session.
Need a motion, yes, sir.
Can I have a motion to accept the amended resolution? Mr. Alfredo, Mr. Hoveter.
Only these, all those in favor.
That's all I need. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks, Marty.
You're welcome, Frank.
Can we have a motion for Manasquan items number 43? Mr. Catani, Mr. Balderman.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollan?
I'm here, she skipped me.
I'm sorry, I forgot. I didn't see you.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Can we have a motion for Manasquan sending districts personnel number 44? Mr. Johnson, Ms. Herbert.
Mr. Balderman?
Yes.
Mrs. Bissell?
Yes.
Mr. Burns?
Yes.
Thank you. Mr. Catani?
Yes.
Mrs. Herbert?
Yes.
Mr. Hoveter?
Yes.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
Mr. Lucretta?
Yes.
Mrs. Pollan?
Yes.
Mr. Vitale?
Yes.
Carried.
We have a motion to adjourn. Mr. Hoveter, Mr. Catani. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night, guys.
Thank you.
Good morning.
See ya.